It's the Babu Babu Babum song.
Yes, it is.
Can I just ask? I'm sorry. I am easily distracted.
Why, Wendy? What's wrong?
Welcome to the show.
You?
Welcome to WGN.
Welcome to the show. Oh, by the way, Prince Archie is listening, I've been told. So welcome aboard, Prince Archie.
Hey, Arch.
Yep.
I was looking at the television because it was on in here. Do you like Gyros or Gyro, as the Jeopardy champion says? Don't you miss him, by the way?
Yeah, it's the tournament of teachers this week and next week, Wendy, so he gets a two-week respite. But yeah, I miss him, and yes, I do love Gyros.
I do, too, very much. And Arby's has offered Gyros for a while. Would you get one at Arby's?
Nope.
I love Arby's roast beef, just a regular with the horsey sauce.
Right.
But I don't understand the Gyros over there.
They might be delicious, but I would tend to play it safe.
And go to a Gyros establishment?
I would go to a Gyros place for Gyros. And if I wanted some horsey sauce, I would go to Arby's.
I like Arby's. And they have good curly fries.
Yeah.
But I can't stop seeing this Gyros commercial for Arby's. And
no, it's out of place.
All right, getting back to the Jeopardy, as we miss our Jamie Holzhauer. The teachers, I don't
know. It's lackluster now that we're used to Jamie.
Yes.
Yes.
And, I'm not making fun, because if I was on a game show, I would look dorky and weird, because most people are not, I don't like being on TV. These people are just regular people who are very smart who happen to be thrust upon TV in order to play Jeopardy.
Correct.
But it's driving me nuts with the button presser. I know you've explained before that sometimes it doesn't go off correctly, but it's like they're just kind of being weird with it. It looks so awkward.
I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, my friend Cliff, an actor here in Chicago who was on it several years ago, said it's nothing like what you expected. Whenever you see it, every once in a while there will be a contestant or two that will hold it up higher above the board and you can kind of see it. And he said the way he always imagined it was handheld and you would just hit it with your thumb, the button. And
like then, a pen kick, kind of a clicking of a pen. That's what it looks like.
But he said for some reason it doesn't work quite that easily. And he consistently thought his was jammed. And you can see on the show sometimes somebody will hold it up and with a lot of frustration press it really hard and it still won't go off. And your idea was maybe somebody already beat you to the punch. But my friend Cliff said no, there were some questions on his episodes that nobody answered and he was hitting it and it just didn't register.
I actually have some information for you.
Some button information?
Yeah.
I would love some button information.
All right, because now I feel really guilty about...
Why?
Plus, some people hold the buzzer in a relaxed, normal position.
Sure.
And some people, like, their arm is straight out and they're, like, freaking out about it. But
I would like it to be... remember Simon, when you were a kid? That circular game with the four different colored... Remember how you would reach forward and you would just tap the color? That's how Jeopardy should be set up, like that, like a Simon game.
Yeah, more like a Family Feud button kind of thing.
Yes, like that.
Or button? How does Mary Sandberg Boyle say it?
Button.
Button.
Yeah.
A lot of millennials say button.
It's a gentle version of button.
Or button.
Button.
B-U-D-D-O. All right. Well, according to the Today Show, and this was published a couple years ago, and I'm shocked that we were unaware of this until now, Jeopardy's buzzer is totally diabolical, and here's why.
Yeah.
If you've watched Jeopardy, you've seen it. That poor, frustrated contestant whose buzzer seems to be broken. She has the right answer, but she can't buzz
in. I see it all the time.
Every day.
Yeah.
All right. It's not broken. The thing is, on Jeopardy, knowing the right answer or right question, as it were, is only half the battle.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a way to finesse the button. Here's what happened. There was an article on the show's website recently that explained there are some key rules to knowing when to press the buzzer. And there are consequences if you do it too early. This is going to make so much sense to you now.
Yeah.
First of all, the buzzer is only turned on after host Alex Trebek finishes speaking the last syllable of the answer is blah, 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 blah. And then the button gets turned on.
I don't think it should be that way. I think if you, let's say you know the answer immediately, three words in, you should be able to buzz three words in.
I think that should be the case too. Although, if that were the case, A, more people would get it wrong because a lot of times the question goes into a different direction.
Right.
And then Alex would have to read the question again, so it would take up more time.
It would, it would take up a little bit more time, but you would be rewarded more handsomely for knowing it faster than anybody else. I've always thought that because I've noticed that the buzzers don't make that noise until he's done reading it. But I guess who's at disadvantage is somebody with poor eyesight who's both reading the clue and hearing it at the same time.
No, you have to listen to when he's
done with his question.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how quickly you read it. And there's someone behind the scene who presses like the enable button of your buzzer after Alex speaks his last word. So it's inoperational until
he's done talking.
Yep. Contestants know that the buzzer is active when they see a set of lights that are out of view of the audience. So
you can see the, well,
I can't
you used to be able to see those lights. They would show during the commercial break, they would show a side shot where, you know, makeup people come out and they kind of spruce up the contestants a little bit. And I don't know if it's like that anymore, but the angle they used to use, you could see that light bar. But I don't think you can anymore.
I can't see it.
No?
I'm not looking for it, though, either. So maybe now I will pay more attention. All right. So here's the thing. First of all, you cannot here are the three rules to using your buzzer. First of all, buzzer only turned on after Alex finishes speaking the last syllable of the answer.
Yeah.
Number two, contestants know when the buzzer is active when they see that set of lights.
Yes.
And third, if you buzz before those lights go on,
yeah,
you're locked out for a quarter of a second.
Oh,
a quarter of a second, which
pivotal.
Is a long time if you're trying to be the first one to buzz in. Did you know this?
I didn't know that part. No. I knew the rest of it. I didn't know that part.
That's more than enough time to completely lose your advantage. Early on in the show's history, the article quotes, contestants could buzz in early, but that led to a lot of quick guesses, negative scores, and general confusion. Because I thought you could do it before, because I seem to remember in the back of my mind, Alex saying, that is incorrect. Let me finish the question.
Yeah, he doesn't say that anymore.
Nope. In 2014, the show posted a video of champions discussing their various techniques for wielding that all-important buzzer device. Buzzer control is more of an issue than knowing the answers, according to a Jeopardy champion from 2002, Linda Del Genis. She told the Today Show, after that, the only way to get an answer in is if the contestant who buzzed it in got it wrong and they opened it up for the other two.
Oh.
She noted that after she got the nod to come on the show, producers suggested she practice with a ballpoint pen, what did I say, to prepare for the finicky buzzer.
Uh-huh.
Still, she got locked out more than once, and when she came back on the second day, it was even more stressful, she said. With the precise engineering of the signaling devices, we've taken great care to ensure that the game runs smoothly and that every contestant gets an equal chance to respond, according to this article on Jeopardy.
But should it be that way, or shouldn't you be? I'm under the belief that you should be rewarded. If you know it and you want to gamble a little bit, take a couple words in. I would take chances on almost all of them.
Yeah, I would too.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. Hopefully it helps them to relax a bit, knowing that lightning reflexes and flexible thumbs are just as important to the game as having staggering amounts of knowledge about a vast array of subjects, which has got to be a disadvantage because you're already, like, your brain is fluttering around like a little dust storm trying to figure out an answer to many different categories. And then you also have to technically work on, okay,
right.
I got to wait till he stops talking. I have to look for the lights. And then if you do it too soon, you're locked out and that's it.
Remember on Friday when you and I, we played WGN Jeopardy with the contestants. All right. So when I'm writing the clues for that, I'm writing the answers. You usually want to word the answer / question so that the payoff part is toward the end of it to prevent that from happening,
yes.
Right? But in some, like the category was May Day, this was on Friday, where all the answers had May in it. So on one of the questions, it was worded, located in Rochester, Minnesota, the answer was Mayo Clinic. I knew that if somebody guessed because the category was Mayday, all they really needed, the only bit of information they needed was that, was Rochester, Minnesota, because that's what Rochester, Minnesota is known for, is the Mayo Clinic. But on Jeopardy, you would not have gotten it right off the bat, because you would have had to have waited for the rest of the question, which really in that particular instance was just extra material.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think yesterday we were watching it, yesterday or the day before, and this is the teachers that are doing it.
Teachers tournament.
And a question was asked, and it said, which character, I can't remember the exact question, but the guy buzzed in, and he mentioned the name of the television show.
Not the character.
Right. And he seemed so perplexed when Alex said, that is incorrect.
Yeah.
He was looking like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
But character is different
right.
than what show it is.
Right. Oh, yeah, 100%. Sure.
How stressful is being on Jeopardy? And Jamie Holzhauer makes it look like, I'll just whip this answer out. I'll try this one.
But that's a testament to how great he is. You know how many they tape in a day, right?
No.
They tape 5 episodes in a day. So at some point, the average person would buckle to that going, even though I know all this stuff, my brain is tired. I've been doing this for 2.5 hours, just rapidly answering your questions. So your average person would buckle a little bit. Now other people have said, no, it's just the opposite.
You're getting
momentum, and but I would think, no matter what you're doing, if you're doing it consistently for 2.5 hours, at some point you're going to reach some level of, you know, stress where you go, oh man, I've been doing this a long time today. 5 episodes in a day. I get tired when I'm watching it at home, because I'm playing at home along with it. Are you doing the same thing?
Yes.
After 1 episode, I'm a little cashed out.
And we're in the comfort of our own home.
Yeah.
And no buzzer.
No buzzer.
Do you answer in the form of the question when you play at home?
Yeah, all the time.
Jim does not, and it bugs me, so then I don't, and then I feel like we're both cheating.
Well,
we just blurt.
No, you have to answer in the form of a question, or it won't count. Yeah.
It doesn't count.
No, it doesn't count anyway. Wait, they're not going to send me the money I've won? This is bogus.
Oh, and it's, you mentioned being stressed about maybe doing 5 tapings in one day. It's not even stress, Bill. Imagine it's fatigue.
Sure,
at some point, you just...
Right.
I mean, maybe it's only me that this happens to, but when you're thinking so hard and so much,
yes,
all of a sudden, your brain is fatigued.
Right.
It's like, I need a break.
Yeah. You can see smoke coming out of the back of his head sometimes when the episode's over.
It's pretty amazing.
It's so amazing.
And it's so fun.
Now, here's a quick question. Do you think, all right, so this week he's off, and next week he's off, but then he's back after that. Do you think the syndicators that are behind Jeopardy will play his return up a lot in ads? I do.
Yes. They'd be stupid not to. And 5 episodes are taped each day, with 2 days of taping every other week. So it's, I thought 5 tapings and you're on like every day.
No.
It's 2 days a week and then you're off a week.
Right.
And then you're.
Right.
So
it's, you hope you're having a good day. You know, like people always talk about good hair days. You hope you're having a good brain day that day. Because, you know, have you ever had days where your brain's just
it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm taking this one out. I'm going to sit back.
The electrical circuits are not charging
that day.
It's not
hooked up properly.
Yeah.
So you have to hope that isn't in his future. But then if you're the producers of Jeopardy, this is good for business. It's costing them a lot of money. Because he's making a lot more money than normal. But
it's still not a lot for how much money that show brings in, Bill. Ratings-wise, isn't it one of the top-rated game shows of all time?
It does well, but they've got this budget that they need to meet, and it was around 35. The average winner brings home around 30,000.
That's
and
cheap.
And his average is around 80,000. So that's more than double what they're used to giving out on a day on a daily basis.
Yeah, but so many years and so many episodes, they haven't even given that out.
Right.
And here's my question, and I just don't understand how television works. We were talking about gaffes, and we have a few more movie mistakes coming up, which is sponsored by American Weathermakers, Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, What's Hot and What's Cold. We'll get to that.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole thing that I don't get behind the magic of TV is they've pre-taped this. We don't know how long ago, but if somebody...
I think it's like 4 or 5 weeks, they said. It's a little over a month.
So if somebody sees him walking in the grocery store, you know he's not on it anymore.
No, you wouldn't know that. Why? Why would you know?
Because if he was still on it...
Well, they don't keep him sequestered. He's allowed to live his life.
If I saw him yesterday in like a Whole Foods...
Right.
Then I'd go, oh, obviously his chain has been broken.
Why? He's only working one day a week.
Oh, I see what you're
saying.
He
can do whatever he wants on the other days. Or even on that day, he can do whatever he wants. He just has to be at the studio for 3 hours.
Where's the studio?
In California, in Burbank, California.
So why would he be coming home in between? I would just imagine you'd stay out there.
Not necessarily.
I guess
he just
he's
made $2 million. He can, you know,
Southwest is cheap.
Yeah. You just say, I'm on a budget. I'm on the Jeopardy budget. Can you just get me?
Why am I so super naive?
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants on his days off. It doesn't mean he's still in it or out of it, you know.
Thank God you're the voice of reason for me.
That's dangerous. That's very dangerous. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we'll get to more of the movie mistakes, movie and television mistakes, glaring mistakes, much like the one on Game of Thrones that could take you out of a movie or a TV show. Stick around for that. Kim Gordon's got the news coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder. Kim Gordon is hanging out. There was a story that you reported on, and then we took a break, but we were discussing it off air. Last night during the Cubs game, Doug Glanville was reporting on the game, and there was a kid behind Doug Glanville making a hand gesture that some have said is a gesture of white supremacy. Others have said it's just a kid's game. It's a hand gesture from a kid's game. Anytime I see the footage, they've shown it on TV several times this morning, but it's pixelated, and
right,
I can't make
out exactly.
Yeah,
can't really tell.
Yeah. I have to be honest with you. I didn't know what this hand. I didn't know that it meant white supremacy, and I didn't know that it was a kid's game. I've never seen this
either.
Before.
I think too, the fact that Doug Glanville was standing there and he's African American, I think, kind of exacerbated the whole white supremacy part of the story.
All right, two things. First of all, Kim, I think your boys are too old, and you have girls. I have two teenagers for a while, and this was like years ago. They'd walk around and make the OK sign.
Upside down.
It's not.
No.
Well, I guess your hand's down, so technically it is.
Yeah.
But it has to be below the waist, and then they'd punch each other. It was almost like a slug bug kind of game.
Right.
And I remember saying, that's stupid. But I have never in my life heard that represented white supremacy.
This
ever.
The problem is there's two things that are very similar that mean very opposite things.
Sure.
So now, how do you determine what he was really going for?
Right. You talk to the kid. How old was this kid?
They're still searching for him. By the time they figured it out, they couldn't find him. He was gone.
He ain't coming forward.
But the Cubs say they have video, obviously, and find him. And if it is a racist comment, then he will be banned from the ballpark
for life.
Yes, for life, forever.
Wow. The Cubs being very proactive on this.
They have to be. They've had some.
So there's been an incident or two.
Incidents on their own,
right?
With
ownership
Ricketts,
father,
right?
Yeah,
senior.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jasmine. Did you know that was the white power sign? Is it the white power sign? Did you know that?
No.
Okay, 4 out of 4 right here.
Right.
So where does that come from?
Well,
did you know about that stupid circle game, Jasmine?
Maybe we live in a bubble. I don't know.
I wonder if, as this was happening, for people who don't know, Doug Glanville doesn't do every game. He's a former baseball player. He played for the Cubs for a while, an outfielder. Great guy and a really good reporter as well. So they bring him in every once in a while, and he does special reports during the game where he's an on-the-field reporter, you know? So I wonder if people were seeing this last night and calling... The game wasn't on WGN television.
It was on NBC
Sports. Yeah,
yes.
NBC Sportsnet. So I wonder if people were seeing this and calling the station going, hey, you got to get that guy off camera. He's making these obscene gestures. I don't know exactly how it played out.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it played out either.
But he started out making the peace sign. Because I'm watching the video. Somebody posted it on Twitter.
Yeah.
And the kid is bending down to, like, get into the camera, and he makes a peace sign at first.
And then he goes to the other.
And then he looks like he's making it, trying to get it in the camera, doing the...
Is he by himself?
It looked like there were some other people with him, right?
Standing yeah. There. It looks like he's with someone else.
Interesting. So are the Cubs acting too harshly in saying, when and if we find out who this guy is? And that can't be hard.
No.
Right?
What if how can you find someone? If you went to a game, maybe, you know, you purchased your tickets on StubHub or whatever, or you borrowed someone's tickets, how can they identify you from that?
Because at some point, people are going to retweet this. His image is going to be somewhere today where somebody recognizes it and goes, hey, I know who that guy is.
Right, or you trace the tickets.
Right.
But the tickets...
Where he was sitting.
Right. But again, if I borrow someone's tickets, they don't have my name.
No, but...
If anybody out there is an investigator, call us and tell us how long it'll take to find him. I guarantee long.
I know this is a stretch, but... And I hate to bring his name up because we've treated him so awfully over the years. But during the Bartman play in the playoffs, that night nobody knew who he was, and the next morning everybody knew who he was, you know? So it's one of those instances where if they really want to spend time figuring out who this kid is...
But he was a season ticket holder, Steve Bartman.
Yeah, but that's not how they discovered who he was.
Somebody knew who he was.
Yeah, people said, hey, that's my neighbor. I know who that guy
is. Can I just tell you something, listeners? If I ever do something stupid, which I may, not racially stupid, but stupid, yes...
Yeah.
Don't identify me.
Don't
call
you.
And tell the authorities my name. Say I'm Bill F.
Oh. I've already called authorities about you for things you haven't done.
I know. You're just...
Saying, just keep a file going.
You're racking them up, as they say.
Just if you could start a file, trust me, it'll pay off at some point.
I mean, part of me, you know, you always want to think the best in people. And
sure.
Part of me is like, oh, if this kid was just doing that stupid game, this
right.
is just...
He looks a little old to be doing that game, though, to be honest
Does
with
he?
You.
Yeah.
You know.
That game is usually enjoyed by teenage kids. Is that who
it
is?
Yeah, and it's kind of a kid. Do you think he's college age? We can't.
It's hard to tell, but like I said, my kids who have done it, it was a few years ago when they were like totally, you know, in their teens.
Right.
So this kid definitely looks older than his teens. He looks like he might be in college.
I mean, the Cubs say they're absolutely not buying the circle game theory.
Interesting that they'd be adamant about this.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you, from looking at this Twitter feed of it, the New York Post has it. So you can just, they have the Twitter at Chad Rehan, R-E-H-A-N. You can just find it and see it all.
Yeah.
It's someone tweeted it saying, am I seeing things or is this jack wagon behind Glanville flashing the white supremacy sign? And they hashtag, I love that.
That's a good term.
They hashtag Sarah Spain and Bleacher Nation.
Yeah.
So it shows the guy, and I think he just figured out he was on camera, and regardless of an African-American or a white guy being there, he would have done the same thing just to say have people go, oh, that was my hand.
I hope you're right. I would hate to think somebody would be ignorant enough.
It just goes to show you, just think before you act. Like,
right.
If this kid wasn't thinking, like, okay, there is a black man in front of me, Tom Ricketts Sr. wrote some racist emails. Like, they don't realize the domino effect.
Right.
You're doing something that you think is funny, and it's not.
Right. So true.
Would it have been better if he was flipping people off? If he held up the middle finger? He looks like the type of kid who would do that.
It almost would have been better, don't you think?
Probably better. Yeah, I hate to say it.
That's bad.
Probably better. Well, but that wouldn't get him banned for life from a Major League Baseball park. You know? Then if you're Cubs management, you just go, some of our fans are idiots. What are you going to do? You get some good guys, you get some bad guys. But this...
Well, and this, you know, and the whole racially white supremacy thing is such a hot-button issue
right
now that...
You know how when a pitcher on the Cubs, I don't know that this happens so much at White Sox Park. I guess it does, but not as much as at Wrigley. All right, so let's say you got a guy throwing for the Cubs, and every time he gets a strikeout, you see on the gate in the bleachers, they take the cups and they spill out K. K is baseball for strikeout.
Right.
So I noticed years and years ago that they never show that collection of strikeouts when there's three, because then it would say KKK. And how would that look? They show it when there's two. They show it when there's four or five. But they never show it when there's three, because your shot is of guys putting cups up that say KKK in the bleachers.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you're right there.
Yeah.
Why would you want
you
that?
You can't show that.
You can't.
Right. You just got to hope a ball isn't hit anywhere near that guy who's putting the K-cups in, because how awful would that look? So there's like a... I wonder if they say to the batters, if you're going to hit a home run, hit it to right, don't hit it to left, because yes, that's where the guy with the cups is.
Wow.
All right, I don't understand when this came about, and I'm on Reddit, so I never know when to believe stuff on Reddit. But they're saying it was definitely just that stupid game where you'd hold it down below your waist, and I think boys would punch each other in the nether
regions.
But that's
why if this guy was with other people, because if he's sitting by himself and he does that, doesn't that blow that theory out of the water? Because you would only do that if you're going to punch somebody.
Yeah, but I just don't think he knew what to do. I think he saw himself, because it looks like he's leaning forward to see if he can, oh, look at that's me on TV. So I think he just didn't. I mean, I don't know him. Maybe.
Yeah.
I just don't know when that turned into the white power symbol. And then on Reddit it says, originally the sign used to not be bad, simply just okay. And the circle game where, again, you hold it below your waist, and then I think boys hit each other in the area.
Proving once again my theory.
Boys are
idiots.
However, one day...
Who thought up that game?
I don't know.
Here's something that'll bring us together.
Although I have to say, when I Googled circle game, it pops up immediately.
It's really
and
stupid.
Explains it.
And I've watched my two sons do this thing. Again, this was like 2-3 years ago. So it's not, I don't feel
it's
like...
It's outdated.
Yeah. And this guy looks too old. And it says on Reddit that, however, one day in 2017, there was a specific website that decided to see if they could trick the media into thinking it was a hate symbol as a joke. Obviously, most of the people who participated in this initially weren't white supremacists. But long story short, it worked. The media picked up on it and it spread like wildfire.
So they're saying that it's not actually a symbol of white supremacy, but we've fallen for a hoax.
Well, you know how some of these crazy websites are out there,
right,
and Alex Jones started his own,
right,
you know, crazy stuff that people truly believe.
Yeah.
If somebody a la Alex Jones posted something like, next time you see kids doing this,
yeah,
this does not mean the circle game. It means they're saying, you know, up with white people.
Do you think people jumped on this too hastily before the investigating, really finding the person?
I don't know.
And finding
That's
out
a great
what
question.
Happened?
I mean, maybe. That's a great question. How are you feeling if you're Doug Glanville today? Are you feeling like, I was targeted?
No.
I was just out doing my job, and a kid behind me is flashing white supremacy symbols.
You don't I can't think so? Believe he feels that way.
I don't know.
Four of us did not even know that that's what that symbol meant. So,
right. But let's say he didn't know what it meant, and then somebody had to take him aside and go, hey, Doug, you're not even aware of this, but there was an incident during your reporting of the game last night. Here's what was going on behind you. Doesn't that make doing your job a little bit harder the next time?
I don't think so.
I
mean, he's a professional. Honestly, it would make me want to go out there and just do my job better.
Right. Yeah.
But.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Here's somebody has texted, there's a symbol for white power. It's the Nazi symbol. Duh.
Well, yeah, but.
Well, but you can't make a swastika symbol with your fingers.
Oh, well, I'm sure some people
Unless
have.
You're triple jointed. It's the only way. I mentioned this once when we were talking about that symbol. There were always kids in our school that had that, like, on a folder or on a notebook. Like, they would just pray, and you would just say to, I would say to them, do you have any idea what that is?
I didn't know.
Not really.
Yeah, but some people, I saw it too, and some people I think were just doodling when we were watching
That's
history
what it
films,
was more times
but it
than
wasn't
not.
Like, you know, I want to be a Nazi.
Right.
It was just...
But it's still upsetting that somebody could be reproducing that symbol and really not understand the symbol behind it. Yeah.
I'm 49 years old. I've been playing that circle game for decades. I'm sorry. I hope you're married. No, I'm kidding. If you can get your finger into the circle, you get to punch the circle maker. So I think that's it. You put it down, and then you got to
Google said you punch them in the shoulder. But maybe it is the
I think
privates.
They punch down there.
Wow.
Maybe my kids played it differently. I don't know. It's a kid's
they
game.
They took it up a notch, Wendy.
They did.
Don't say notch. It's a kid's game. Make someone look at that sign below the waist, and you get to punch them in the arm. All right. Again, my kids were playing it wrong.
Wow. And then how do you win that game?
There's no winner.
You don't, it's,
no
winner. Honestly, it's like slug bug. It's like whoever punches you first wins.
That's
it's like
it.
A big brother move, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Something you would do to your big brother or your little brother.
So it's a one-round game? Like you do it one time and then it's forgotten and then hopefully you can get him again the next day?
Is that how it is? I don't know when the cutoff is. Like if it's an hour later, you could just keep doing it. I don't even know. Again, my kids don't do it anymore, thank God. Bill, Wendy, hello. You know what's the white power symbol? You talked about it with that Wisconsin class photo of all the boys making that sign a couple of months ago. How can you forget? I didn't forget that.
That one's obvious. That one's very obvious.
I don't know, although they said they were waving it to their mother.
Right.
And this Mother's Day, maybe we should believe them.
Maybe.
Kidding. Before you text us. But I, 4 out of 4 of us did not know that symbol.
What's the game called again?
The circle game.
The circle game. I'm going to play that with Larry Wirt today, our boss. I'm just going to go into his office and
Larry
punch him
has played that.
Yeah, see?
Yes. Wow. Larry's very young and
wow.
Hard. I'll bet you $20 if you went and did that, Larry would punch you.
Oh, my gosh. I don't want that. All right. I'm going to change a quick change of plans.
Pick somebody else. Who else can you play it with?
Girls are so much smarter than guys because there's no two girls on the planet that would think that was enjoyable. But for guys, it's like, yeah.
And can I tell you something? Girls don't hit each other in the privates ever.
No.
Boys
no.
do.
Yeah.
Even like baseball players, and
I know.
I'm serious. Like, and Bill, I know you're not the typical guy, and I'm not the typical girl, which I kind of feel like that's why we mesh so well.
Yeah.
But what is wrong with guys that do that?
It's like a brotherhood kind of.
Yeah, but your privates are your privates.
Are your privates, right? I agree.
The other night, Javi Baez is batting, and he fouls the ball, and the ball goes down, and then straight up and hits him right there.
Right there.
To which the announcers were silent. They said nothing for an extended period of time.
Because they were busy grabbing themselves instead.
One finally said to the other, JD, Jim Deshaies, do you want to do commentary on that? And then there's nothing but silence. And I'm thinking, what do you say?
Ouch.
There's no...
You say, get Bob Saget for America's Funniest Videos. People get hit in the crotch.
My thought was, I would say, because it was the strike count was strike two, so I would have just said strike two and then paused and said, no balls. But that's just me. Everybody has their own way of doing it. But Javi Baez, to his credit, just laid flat on the ground.
You could see he was in pain. My husband was watching. We were watching together. And he goes, you know, you get such a reaction from guys when that happens. It's like, oh, no, right in his cup.
So painful. I was never hit during baseball, but I was hit once during tennis. We were playing tennis, and I was
and
up at the net.
And
you don't wear a cup in tennis. And
not even a Dixie cup? I could see. Oh, my God. You have to invent the Dixie Riddle cup.
The Dixie Riddle cup for athletes
for kids,
that like
yes.
a good laugh. That's brilliant.
Come on. Do it, Bill. Bill, Larry Wirt will give you some money.
If he doesn't punch me first.
You could have one. You have so many jokes. You could have one for every day of the year.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. That's
All right,
a great idea.
We were talking earlier about movie mistakes, and we never got to them.
Oh.
But Matt has been on hold like the whole time here.
And Matt, sorry about that.
So, Matt, you have a movie mistake that you wanted to mention to us?
Yeah, first of all, I love you guys, so it's okay. You can
right back at you, Matt. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. So, I have two. Number one, if you watch Diamonds Are Forever, Sean Connery is fat and then not fat at various points in the movie. His weight fluctuates so much in that movie, it's like a sliding whistle. And then, number two, Bill, I have to ask you, I'm the guy who sent you the crummer. Did you ever get that?
Sent me the what?
I sent you a crummer.
What's a
crummer? Oh, the crummer, yeah. The tip
oh,
crumbs
yes,
off
I
the
got
table.
That, yes.
We thanked you on the air. You must not have been
listening
that day.
Yeah, we talked about it one day, yes.
That's awesome. Thank you, guys.
No, thank you. That's so nice.
Great. Don't go anywhere.
All right. We promise.
Can we go home today?
No.
Well, I mean, if you want, but Bro and Anna could always use some extra help.
Oh,
Wendy's going home to play the circle game.
I've got to let you go, because that's mean.
Thanks, Matt.
Can we get the sound?
That was the sound when Javi Baez got hit. You heard that noise.
What did Matt give you?
He gave me a crumber because I mentioned that in your finer eating establishments.
Oh, that gets the crumbs off the
table.
Yeah. I love those things.
Yeah.
Do you use it?
I've used it a couple times, yeah.
I could have used that the other day. I made cookies.
I always forget to bring it to restaurants, though. I've used it at the house, but my family already knew I had
it.
Is it
gold?
No surprise. No. Like a brown tone, almost.
It's goldish.
Yeah.
Although, Billy, you'd look like a bigger dork, I guess.
To bring my own in?
Yeah, you wouldn't have, like, your, you know, pocket protector with a crummer in it.
I've got this, and then I would just do the crumbing.
You whip it out of your hoodie
pocket.
You
always feel fancy when you're in a restaurant and use that.
Yeah, yeah. I like that feeling.
Although, don't you try and get more crumbs on the table just so you can see them do it? Because I like it. It's a cool invention.
Cool little thing.
We have one at home that is just kind of like a little brush. It almost looks like a shoe brush. And then when you roll it over the table, it revolves. The little brush revolves, so it sucks up all the crumbs.
I use a dustbuster.
Do you do? In a nice restaurant?
No, at home.
Just at home?
Why would I bring this to a restaurant?
I don't know. It just seems the right thing, you know. But they've got their own.
Right. So I'm just saying, like, for Thanksgiving and stuff, when I have a tablecloth, I use this little rollover thing.
Oh.
Works better than the crumber.
I like that the waiter does it so covertly. Like, doesn't make a big deal out of it. Like, you guys just go about your discussion, and I will crumb in the corner. You know, they're so good at it. Very impressive.
I will crumb in the corner.
The first time it ever happened to me that somebody came and, like, did that in front of me, I was probably, like, 10 or 11 in a fancy restaurant, and I was so embarrassed because I thought that I was the only one who was, like,
you made a mess.
Yeah. Oh, you have to do what I do, which is blame the people around you. Just go, that's from her. That's from him. I didn't do this. I had nothing to do with this. All right, we must stop. We're out of time. Kim, thank you very much for hanging out. Always greatly appreciated. We'll close things off in just a moment.
All right, we are ready to start going. That's what we got to do.
Yes, it's true, Wendy. We're out of time, but tomorrow will afford us another opportunity. And from what I'm hearing, the bonus hour tomorrow is bonus time. A 90-minute bonus hour tomorrow.
What? Oh, White Sox baseball.
White Sox pregame.
So we hop to the stream a little earlier?
Yeah, I think at 11:30 or 11:35.
I'm okay with that.
Even more fun on the stream tomorrow. Please tune in for that. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it, and we're looking forward to tomorrow. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.